But I have to say again, his performance was not good.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patriots. Happy Thursday. Second dose of Tot and Ham for the week, James. And yeah, slightly different because you guys went and spanked Crystal Palace 4-0 away from home.
We're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen.
This is it, isn't it? All of a sudden, how quickly a narrative can change off the back of one win.
Now, narrative is key point because there's a lot I want to say about our performance.
And we obviously went away to Leeds and drew 2-2. And it was entertaining, if not quality. You know, you get games that sometimes are entertaining, but maybe not in the Liverpool, Manchester City levels of quality necessarily. But we did score two goals, which is a nice change. Another penalty seems to be the only way. And Scamacca scored a pearler from the edge of the box.
Hackett's pen was so dodge. I mean, it's a brilliant pen, but obviously goes to run up. I've literally only seen the goals. And he basically nearly fully stops, which is...
He did. He's
right on the borderline of whether it's legal or not.
Oh, is it?
He does
is that
like
the rule? You're not allowed to stop in the middle of a run.
As long as you keep moving, you're okay. But if you stop, it's illegal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you don't get to retake it, mate. It will just be, that's it. It's to the opposition.
Oh, wow. Okay. But obviously, he thought that Meslier was going to dive, right? And he didn't. Held his ground a little bit longer than he thought and didn't know what direction to go in. But fuck it, you know. He gambled on that one. He put it away, fair play. Like, because to get that power and accuracy off just the one step is not easy. But I don't think he meant to stop for as long as he did. I just think Meslier held his ground and he was like, oh shit.
He didn't have a choice and then but just keep going. He did like the Pogba 100 steps, didn't he?
Yeah. So Scamacca's finish was class. Like he's got that in his locker. Interesting that Moyes criticised him after the game. We may as well get into the game now and start talking about it. Moyes criticised him afterwards, but kind of his post-match presser, he was like, look, he had a great finish and we know he can do that, but good centre-forward goals are scored in the box, you know, getting on the end of tap-ins and headers and that kind of thing, and we want to make sure he's scoring those goals as well. So I leave the guy alone. He's just fucking put it in the back of the net from the edge of the box. He's had a broken career at West Ham in terms of injuries and having a steady run in the team. Like, you don't need that to be called out like that. But it was a good game yesterday. Leeds obviously are a good team, right? I was just looking at their front three or four versus when they did so well and came up into the league. Like, at that time, it was Bamford in the middle, Jack Harrison on one side, and Rafinha on the other side was their kind of front three, you would say. Who played in behind mainly for them?
The man who might have played his last game for them last night, Matthijs Glik.
Yeah.
Quite often played as the 10, didn't he?
And now you've
but
got
But then often
different...
they'd leave, they'd often it was 4-1-4-1, wasn't it? Where they'd leave like Phillips just really deep by himself.
Yep. Now you look at it and you look at like Entonto or whatever, Toto the Wolf or whatever, and Somerville and Rodrigo.
They're ex-lively, aren't they?
Very different characters.
They're lively.
You've got very small, nippy, skillful, tricky players. Aronson as well, obviously. And it's completely different type of footballers that they've got up at the top end of the pitch. Should add that Somerville should have fucking been sent off, mate. His tackle on Soufal, studs up, knee height. You look at Soufal's knee afterwards, like fucking blood dripping and how he got away with the yellow on that one.
I'll tell you what, Serge, I haven't seen it, so I'll make sure that I do today before tomorrow's game review podcast, and I'll tell you if I think it's a red or not.
Mate, it's studs up on his knee. The thing is, right, obviously they've had a battle all game. Like, Soufal is a very combative defender, right? He's in your face, he'll tackle. And Somerville maybe had been on the wrong end of a few, I wouldn't call them fouls, but tougher tackles, let's say. He was in a fight and he lost his shit and he just went in and took him out, mate. Was dodgy, but...
How did you line up? Because clearly that's not a back three. That was back to a back four, right?
Yes, it was a back four.
With Kehrer at left back?
Yep. Until the second half, Soufal got injured.
Okay.
And that's when what was the substitution? Remind me.
I don't know. It was your game, mate.
Creswell came on and played Soufal on the left, and that's when Kehrer moved to right back.
Okay.
And then later on, Fornals came off for Flynn Downs, Benrahma.
Because I did notice, without looking at these things, that Kehrer's heat map looked like someone who might be playing inverted. And I was thinking, there's no way David Moyes has gone all Guardiola on this.
No. He started at left back and played the second half of the game as right back.
Socek.
Yeah.
Where did he play?
I'm going to say... all over the place.
His heat map all is over the so place. Left side biased, mate.
Yeah, all over the place, mate.
So what was this, 4-3-3?
4-3-3.
With like Fornals as the left-sided forward,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah. 4-3-3, I would say. It definitely was a 4-3-3. Souček in the second half had more license to go get further forward.
It seemed harsh on Benrahma to leave him out, mate.
Very.
But I think it's probably a lot to do with Leeds are a very intense team, and he's probably looking at Fornals' work rate for that particular fixture, which I can kind of understand, actually. That's probably why he's changed. I feel really sorry for Kehrer, actually, by the way.
Shoved around left, right and centre.
Jesus Christ, mate. He's played every position for you at the back.
Across the back line, yeah. He really has. He really has. Yeah, I think so. I think we both felt like, you know what, we could have... They started well. They had good control. Then we obviously came back into it. We had chances. If you look at it, both teams will feel like they could have won it. But I think both teams will feel like leaving here with a draw is perfectly fine. Fuck me. The XG is shite, mate.
Because?
0.9. Or is that just Rodrigo's XG? Sorry, yeah. That's Rodrigo's XG. 1.62 for them. I'm saying that's a bit bizarre. We had a penalty versus 1.43 for us. So tight, 1.6 versus 1.4. You're going to kind of say that's a draw. We had chances. They also had chances. Fabi pulled off one good save. Really good save, to be fair. So I walk away from that and I'm like, you know, it's a point on the board. Look at the league table. And there's now kind of a bit of a gap opening up from where Crystal Palace are on 22 points to everyone else below. And we're in that below. Like, I think looking at it, finishing best of the rest is what we're looking at now. Like,
so 12th, what's that, 13th?
12th, 13th, something like that.
I mean, there's 2 points from Leicester of 13th to Everton at 18th, 2 points.
But then up to Crystal Palace is what, another 6 or 7 points, right?
I mean, Forrester got themselves up to 15th. What a massive win that was for them last night. Sounds like it was thoroughly deserved as well.
Yeah.
You're one goal better off than Everton's. Good job Brighton giving them a slap in. Otherwise, you'd be bottom three, mate.
Yep. Yeah, it's not good, but it was better. Like, last couple of games, we're starting to get better. But at the moment, it's not even about that. Like, we just need results. Fuck the performance at some point. Like, get me results that get us to, like, 20 points in the next few, and then we'll see where we are. Because we've got Wolves, Everton, and then we've got Chelsea. Then do we play you?
You have got us in February
and
at some
point. Then Forest after that. And there's one other game in there that's winnable.
Newcastle away's after Everton. Sorry, mate, to leave that one out. Newcastle, Chelsea, Tottenham after those next two of Wolves away and Everton at home. Massive games. And at the same two weekends, Everton have got Southampton at home and then obviously yourselves away. Jesus Christ, mate. this is getting big.
I'm still not worried. Yeah.
No, to be honest, there's a few teams down in that area who I really don't see going down. You're one of them. Leicester, I think, will score more than enough goals. And I think, to be honest, the same probably applies to Leeds. I think Leeds will get some results where, a little bit like when they won at Anfield, they very nearly beat my team. They'll surprise, I think, in some of the bigger games. But certainly from Leicester down, I mean, you'd say Palace, Villa above that are going to be all right. The top 10 are obviously going to be fine. But yeah, I'd be very surprised if yourselves, Leeds or Leicester went down. I think it will be between the other five for the three places.
It doesn't lend itself to a good season. But if we can stay stay comfortable above the relegation zone, we put our eggs into the Conference League and try and win that and have a good run in that and at least have something to enjoy and celebrate, you know?
Well, the idea of your season right now would be get yourself out of shit before it restarts and then you can have a proper go at it. Otherwise, you can't really.
Yep.
And then, yeah, you can sack off the league season and finish 13th, 14th. And if you end up winning that competition, which you are favourites to win it, by the way. I have had a look at the betting odds.
Mad.
Well, yeah, I mean, it says about the quality and in that tournament, in fact. And obviously, if you sort yourselves out, you're a good side, right? Mm. You're not the 17th worst team in this league, mate.
No. We're just playing badly at the moment, but it's getting better. It might be inches at a time, even maybe millimeters at a time, but it is getting better. I can see Paqueta getting on the ball more. Like he's clearly a very, very talented player. Yeah, it's getting better. Bowen had more involvement in the game. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say, like, he's back on form.
He win the pen?
Yeah, he won the penalty. Yeah. He nipped in ahead of, I think it was Cock that took him down.
He nipped in ahead of Cock?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm pretty sure it was one of their centre-backs that fouled him. It might have been Strick. No, I'm pretty sure it was Cock.
No, stick with Cock. It's funny.
Yeah. He's getting more involved, right? He's still not...
Could he be less involved?
But nah, that would be difficult, you know. So we're getting there. We're finding a way to play. Agued looked okay. He had a couple of good efforts to try and score as well himself. So we power through.
The image pre-game with David Sullivan was very sad. I find anybody who didn't see that not to think bloody hell, poor fella. Like. Dade, for those who didn't see it, they'd obviously put some flowers on the seat.
On
obviously,
seat.
David Goals was meant to sit, and poor Sullivan. I just thought,
sitting next to that.
Yeah, fucking hard, man. And I felt that. And moving on to my team, and there is a link between that. There are reports, unconfirmed. I haven't seen any videos of it or anything, but there were reports from outside Selhurst Park last night that there was a chant going round from a minority of Tottenham fans singing, "Daniel Levy, it should have been you."
Oh, wow.
Which, if that's true, is so fucking disgusting. I don't know. And like I said, there's no videos or anything. Just a few people had tweeted it and said that they'd heard that outside the ground. I just think, my God, what's wrong with you? How can you? I get it. A lot of people want him to go now and stuff. And it was audibly clear during the game last night, you know, Daniel Levy, get out of our club and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But there's a fucking line. And, you know, if fellow Tottenham fans have gone and done that, man, it's so fucking disgusting.
Mm.
Seriously, what goes through your mind?
Yeah. I don't have any words, mate. It's bonkers.
Do you want me to talk about Tottenham's magnificent performance last night?
So, before you do, so Sky Fantasy Football on...
Did you buy Rodrigo?
Yeah, on Tuesday. I still Captain Kane, though. On Tuesday, I had Paulinho's points. I had Rashford's captaincy points. I had Trippier clean sheet points. I had William Saliba clean sheet points. I dropped 1,000 places. Yesterday, I only had Kane and Rodrigo. Kane captain and Rodrigo went up 1,000 places. Like literally yo-yoed back to exactly where I was within a day. And I'm like, that was four players who returned, including my captain in Rashford. So five players that returned. This is two players that returned, including my captain. And it shot me back up 1,000 places. Now, this Sky is bonkers, mate. And I kept that. Now, if you look at it, that transfer to get Kane in for Kevin De Bruyne with the captaincy yesterday, he's got me 32 points over the two games, and I'll sell him on, and it makes it feel all worthwhile. Rodrigo is only a 9-point, but he might be the one that maybe took me up even further.
I would have think so, yeah. That'd be. I don't know what his ownership is, but the differential 9%. On that. Kane would have obviously been very heavily captained. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I
rose similar, but I'd had a bigger drop on Tuesday. But then I've got more eggs going into tonight, right? So,
yeah, and same. I've got 4 going into tonight, but I could have as many as 5 or 6 going into tonight. So, sorry, I've got 5 going into tonight because I've got Thiago Silva. Have you got any Chelsea players?
No.
Okay, so I've got 5 plus any Man City that I add today. But yeah, it was just interesting that Kane captaincy was worth that much of a yo-yo in Sky. So Harry Kane, 198 goals, eh?
198 Premier League goals in 300 Premier League appearances is obviously an incredible record. Anybody who's 1 in 2 is a super forward. He has been over a very, very long period of 2 in 3. And that's incredible going. And of course, the more emotionally for me, I've spoken about this in the past, he's 2 goals off of Jimmy Greaves' record now.
Is that 198 Premier League goals? So what's
198
his total?
Premier League goals.
What's his total?
For Tottenham, was it 264 or something?
Oh, okay.
I forget. Jimmy... Something like that.
Ow!
You're right there. Just got no knee.
Oh, my leg's fine. I just dropped my leg down to the floor and it fucking stank. So Jimmy Greaves' record that he's going for is total goals as opposed to total league
total goals for Tottenham. Yes, absolutely. 2 goals off it now. And
he's going to do it, right?
Well, of course he's going to. And unless he breaks his leg and never plays football again, of course he's going to break it. And I think he'll probably play against Portsmouth on Saturday. And my thinking very much would be try and get that out the way. Harry's script feels so written so often that you could foresee him breaking it against Arsenal, couldn't you? Imagine he scores the winning goal against Arsenal and breaks Tottenham's all-time goal scoring record in the process. But I'm more thinking play Saturday, and I think he will, by the way, because I don't think we've got any fucking alternative options. And go and get yourself 2 or 3 on Saturday and get it done until people aren't talking about it too much for too long, because these things can become like a noose around your neck, right? People are talking about, is he going to do it this game? It could easily be that he blanks against Arsenal, he blanks against Man City, he blanks against Fulham, and it's like, oh, is it weighing on his mind? And people start getting a narrative, and you actually know some just tough fucking fixtures in there, basically.
Yeah.
So obviously he'll do it. Game last night. So a few surprising ones in the selection. Back 3 was what I expected and knew what it had to be. I was surprised that Brian Hill was in the team. I didn't think he'd play again. And actually contributed, which we'll talk about in a bit. Skip over Sarr, I understood, but didn't necessarily agree with. He was obviously very limited in terms of the personnel that he could pick last night.
Although your mate Expressions Oozing was talking about Papa Mata Sarr as though he is your next big Yaya Toure.
Well, he was great when he came on. And to be honest, people were comparing him to Yaya Toure when we signed him 18 months ago, saying that the people believe he's going to go and be the kind of the best midfield talent in Africa. He's got something about him. He's quite skinny and bony and leggy and stuff at the moment. Mm. If he can find power, yeah, because he can play. He can definitely play. He's a good little player. To the extent that he played against Nice in a friendly, and you're looking at it and going, I'm not sure Bissouma's better than this at the moment. Mm. And he looked great when he came on last night. And he will definitely start against Portsmouth on Saturday. He has to play the proper game of football. Be shocking if he didn't, to be honest. Like, Tottenham should be able to get away with Skip and Sarr in midfield and have Pierre on the bench against Portsmouth, I think. Any case, 10 minutes into the game, Serge, I'm thinking, this is potentially going to be our best performance of the season, this. We started bright and well, and we started bright and well and intelligently, because I think Palace are the sort of team you can't go too gung-ho against, because you know what their big threats are. It's that pace on the counter, right? You start leaving Zaha one-on-one against Doherty and things like that, you're in fucking trouble. And that did become a problem at certain points in the first half, where Skip went out to help Doherty and he wasn't making a good fist of it. But we started really well. The football seemed quite composed. We seemed in control. And then the game started to drift away. And I remembered why. And it's a Palace problem rather than a Tottenham problem. I've seen this game so many times. They start games at Selhurst Park so slowly. so slowly. We've spoken about this before, that sometimes it feels like this big build-up with Palace, where they're going to come and get you second half and stuff. But actually, the longer the first half went on, we were lucky to go in 0-0 at half-time. We by half time, I think we'd only had two touches in Palace's penalty box. So it'd gone from a really good start towards we just had no foothold in the game. The best moments fell to Palace. Admittedly, they didn't have a lot of chances. Lloris made one really good save from Jordan Ayew. Jordan Ayew should have fed in Alisse and he can't miss, but it was a really good save. And at half time, you're thinking that good start is just, there's no energy in this team. And I'm sitting there at half time and it's like absolutely inevitable that Palace are going to go and get stronger again second half and they're going to go and win the game. And I can't believe many Tottenham fans would have thought different at half time because it was same shit, basically.
Right.
Same shit. Just the only difference was we hadn't conceded, but then it was 0-0 against Villa at half time on Sunday. Second half starts. First thing they do, ball gets smashed in the air. And Romero, rather than heading it, decides to take a touch and he miscontrols it. And Palace end up winning a corner. And that's within like 20 seconds of the second half. And you're like, fucking hell, pressure's building. But listen, if you didn't watch the game, all you'll hear is, what did Antonio Conte say to Tottenham at half time? Because they came out and exploded. No, we didn't. Started the second half poorly. And that Romero touch is another one. If it had been Dier, people would be down his throat going absolutely mental. Otherwise, Christian Romero played quite well last night. But at that point, to start the second half, I'm like, oh, you've blown the initiative already straight away in the second half. Then what happened was Harry Kane decided to have one of them games that he has now and again where he's just gone, I'm going to fucking win this football match. So he ends up getting on the end of this looped cross from Perisic where, again, I've said it a few times recently, doesn't score enough headed goals. Another brilliant headed goal off the back of a brilliant headed goal at Brentford last week. Very different in its execution, but really powerful. More of what I expect of him, where it looked like he'd get there, but it was a really difficult one to try and squeeze it in at the near post, and he did it. And it was shock that we went in front, because obviously I haven't seen my team go in front for about 3 months. So in terms of scoring the first goal anyway. So that was a little bit of a weird one. Oh, this is strange.
Mate, I haven't seen my team winning in a game since October from memory.
But the amount of times, again, I was thinking straight after the goal, I was thinking, I've seen this before with Palace as well. And now the Alamo's coming. They're going to fucking start throwing real attention. So I was even thinking about the second half when they were training against Arsenal opening day. They had a lot of pressure. They had some decent moments and stuff. And they can overwhelm you there when they get the crowd up and stuff. And if you just begin to sit too deep, because they've got speedy, tricky players who take you on, and they're also not frightened to lump the thing into the box and stuff. And they're a real dangerous threat from offensive set pieces. So certainly wasn't thinking, well, we've gone in front, that's okay this time. What I was thinking was, we're going to end up retreating and the rest of this game is going to be really ugly. You have to get the second goal at Selhurst Park. I've spoken about this so many times, about so many teams. You get the second goal, it's over, you finished. 5 minutes later, I'm leaping out the chair because what a goal he scored, Harry. The first touch and the finish. Honestly, you could watch it all day because it's just so quick. The touch, it's like he's almost shot before he's finished taking the first touch. It's so quick. And the sound the ball made in the net was like a clung, like absolutely buried. Goalkeeper's got no chance. And most people, even on the strike, will just drag it. He'll drag it across to the far post. It's the way he cuts through a ball, this weird technique he has, where he manages to strike through things. It's just a brilliant goal, which was really nicely laid on by Brian Hill, who, again, I spent all of the first half thinking, I really like you, mate, but you're too fucking weak. You're too fucking weak. But he had this really important involvement in obviously assisting Kane for the goal. It was actually his first attacking return for Tottenham, believe it or not. Not that he's played a huge amount. And suddenly, it was like the confidence was flowing out of him. There's no doubt on him in terms of his work rate, his effort, even some of the technical stuff. Like, he can drop a shoulder and he just glides past people. Really nice. And he's got the vision stuff, but he doesn't have the technical power in his play like Kulusevski does, for example. But he had a really, really nice contribution in that second half that made you think, well, can he hang around as the sixth forward at the club and can we find some use for him? Well, the answer's yeah. It's okay. He can be used. And very interestingly, Antonio Conte again repeated something about him last night that he'd said before the World Cup. We compared him to Bernardo Silva, which on the face of it, he's a madness fucking comparison. But when I think back at the Bernardo Silva that I saw destroy Tottenham at Wembley for Monaco, it was that sleight of gravity, that brilliant little agility where he could go and actually take a player on. Now he's evolved to more of a more complete footballer now. But that's what he was this tricky, elusive little player originally. And it's interesting that Conte's repeated that comment about Hill in the same kind of moments that he's been repeating that this squad's not good enough, yada, yada, yada. And that yet there you are saying your sixth choice forward, you're comparing him to one of the best midfield players on the planet. It's interesting. But we didn't play well. Like the narrative of the game is, Tottenham won 4-0, blew them away. Listen, from 2-0, once it's got to that point, you've got Palace by the balls and you can just sit off them and play your football, and their heads went bad.
Some of their defending was a bit shoddy.
I mean, I spoke about
Son's goal. Who was it? Gahee against.
Yeah. Well,
What's he doing?
What did I say on the pod yesterday? What's the
solution? We should buy him for £50 million.
I didn't say that. I said, what's the solution? Go and spend £50 million on someone like Mark Gahee. Completely, even when I said it, I wasn't thinking, oh, we're playing them tonight. It was just the name that had come in my head because I know Tottenham have been repeatedly linked to him. Fucking hell. Not on that performance last night. Palace heads completely went at 2-0. They were really, really bad. Really bad. And they're not a team that get battered, but it just had 3-0 and 4-0 in a row at home. And we know there's obviously circumstances around the Fulham defeat. On last night, I mean, is it a 4-0 game? No, of course it wasn't, but they were woeful from 2-0. Never thought they were going to get back. I knew it from 2-0 we'd won the game. And it was comfy from there, and there was little spells where we played some nice football. It was like the pressure would come off them a bit. Højbjerg, I thought, played really well because Oliver Skip didn't. And I felt he was trying to take the initiative in terms of all the things on and off the ball last night and quietly put in a really impressive performance, I thought. Saar should be ahead of Skip, really. It's a shame. Ollie Skip's had his whole year killed because of injury. And it might be that he doesn't get back to a player who, when Conte walked in the door, he was playing every game for Conte, you know. Then obviously he gets injured. We buy Bentancur and then Bissouma, and suddenly he's gone from second choice to fourth choice. He might even be fifth choice now in that area. And it's another one, you look at it on paper and go, well, regularly you're going to play two in now. Is Højbjerg, Bentancur, Bissouma, Saar, Skip, is that enough in there? Well, quality level, you can improve on it. It's okay. It's okay. We've got defensive cover. Again, it needs massively improving. We've got wing-back cover. Again, it needs massively improving. Where we're light is through the middle, but we're also light through the middle because Richarlison and Kulusevski and Lucas Moura are all injured. And again, you've had one half decent performance, the narrative has changed. But I do warn people, that was not a 4-0 game. Tottenham played well really yesterday for 10 minutes at the start of the game. They played well from 2-0 when the game was easy because the opposition had given up. And we won the game like we've won so many games this season because Harry Kane was superb. It was absolutely brilliant. And it was like the reason we started well yesterday is because he was dropping deep, Suge. Keep speaking
about
this.
Yeah.
He's keep speaking passer. About this. And even that on the fourth goal, how inevitable that Sonny finally gets a goal. Because Harry Kane's dropped off short and Sonny can run beyond him. And yeah, of course, it should have been defended much better.
I mean, Kane played the ball through for when Sonny had the chance that then got deflected on.
Why didn't he shoot?
I don't know. Lack of confidence, maybe. Who knows?
Even that, but I think that's what he needed was that kind of the fourth goal when it went, it was like a shock, wasn't it? Because actually shot and Gaye's got back and he's got a deflection on it and he's gone into the corner. Keeper's got no chance. But that's the sort of goal we just needed. He just needed something to go in off his arse or a deflected shot, just so people weren't going, hang on, you haven't even scored when you started in a Premier League game this year. It's ridiculous. That doesn't suddenly mean, oh, buy him for FPL or anything like that. No, he needed it. But I have to say again, his performance was not good. Not good at all. I think if everybody was fit right now, for me, it would be Richarlison, Kane and Kulusevski as first choice for Tottenham at this moment in time. But hopefully that goal changes some things for Sonny. And Harry Kane dropping deep. will change things and help things for Sonny. He needs space. And he's a killer.
Do you think he's doing it off his own back, or do you think Conte told him to?
No, I definitely think, see, look, this, again, there's two sides to every story, as always. One of the reasons Harry Kane has been so superb this year in terms of his goal scoring, etc., is because he's hanging around the top end a little bit more. But he's having a detrimental impact in terms of the goal scoring of the other forward players, in my opinion, because Kane's always ahead of Sonny. And Sonny needs to get it. He needs the ball to go into Kane where it acts as a trigger, and then he gets ahead of him. And because he knows Harry will find him. So if Sonny's always wide and he's always behind Kane, what you're relying on Sonny to beat people with tricks, skills, come inside, score from 25 yards and stuff like that. I mean, even the goals against Leicester, right? Two of them were fucking weldies, let's be honest. The third one he gets put through at the end of the game. But he hasn't had many chances like that. How many times could I look this season and go, oh, Sonny's raced away, he's missed a big chance. He hasn't even been having big chances, potentially. His XG this year is pony. And a lot of that is because Harry's not dropping short, and therefore it's not giving defences choices. I refer back to that Newcastle game a lot, where we scored five, Kane didn't score. And Kane kept dropping off, they couldn't deal with it. And then the runners beyond Kane was so explosive. Kane dropping off is better for Sonny, it'll be better for Kulusevski, it'll definitely be better for the wing-backs. I thought Matt Doherty did pretty well again last night. Good. Ivan Perisic worked his socks. They are definitely the first choice wing backs now, unless we go and buy someone. That's not in question. But yeah, it was obviously nice to have a routine win and enjoy it. And obviously I sat here and watched it, and Harry thought it was like a fireworks display or something kept going off in the second half.
Second half anyway, maybe not the first.
And yeah, every time we scored, I grabbed him and I make him watch the replay and get him to shout goal and stuff. It was nice to have that. So in a weird way, yeah, it worked out watching the game at home.
Cool. There's just something satisfying.
But nothing's changed, by the way.
Yeah.
Everything's still the same, just everything feels a little bit better today. That's it.
Well, at least you got 3 points on the board. Yeah. Good, good, good. Listeners, tomorrow, James has a quiz as provided by our Manchester United. It's Gary Robinson, right? Or is it Gary Shepherd? Yeah, Gary Robinson. Yeah. I know you said Gary was doing a quiz. I need to check which Gary. Yes, our Manchester United correspondent, Gary Robinson, has a quiz.
Remarkable, because as we know, no one's called Gary anymore. So it's remarkable
that we know so many. And that will be your quiz for tomorrow. Of course, we'll be podding tomorrow. Main podcast going through all of the games of the week as well. But hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Can you Spurs? Cue music, please, man. Show.
The Fantasy Football Show.